gang. Welcome. Welcome to what really happened to the cicadas here, a.k.a. National Bugle Radio, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the cicada jam of free speech. You hear the cicadas, they're jamming. And that's how it should be. And anybody who's not hip to that is just L7. They're totally L7, as Engelbert Poindexter would say. They're squares, okay? So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Mike and or Julie will be more than happy to take your money. All right. So, what is this show anyway? Where are we going with this? Well, Mike Rivera did a show called What Really Happened, and he stopped doing it about 10 days ago, and somebody's got to pick up at least part of the slack. I'm not going to be doing this on a daily basis because it's hard, but we're just going to go through some news and see what happens. All right, this just in from RT, Russia Today. Ukraine strikes bridges in Crimea with NATO-supplied missiles. Okay, two bridges connecting the peninsula. Crimea is a peninsula. It's just barely a peninsula. It's almost an island. It's got a very, very small isthmus connecting it to the Russian mainland. But it's also separated from Russia by narrow straits. So the isthmus connects it with the former Ukrainian province of Zaporozhye, I believe. Or is it Kherson? Maybe it's Kherson. And but the bridge connects it to Rostov? I'm not quite sure where it connects it to, but it to a place that's been long part of the Russian Republic. Anyway, anywho, Ukraine has launched a barrage of British-supplied Storm Shadow missiles at two bridges connecting the Crimean Peninsula to Russia's, Kherson region. Okay, according to its acting governor. All right, so these are not the bridges I thought. Some 12 missiles were, Mike Rivera would have read through these first, so he would have kind of known what he was getting into. But, you know, this is what you get for free. All right. Some 12 missiles were fired during Saturday's attack, with at least three making it through Russian anti-aircraft defenses. Acting Governor Vladimir Saldo told Rossiya 24 TV channel. The strike damaged two bridges across the Strait of Chongar and the Tonki Strait, the official said. The Chongar Bridge sustained at least one hit, according to the acting governor, who shared imagery of the aftermath of the attack on his Telegram channel. The missile left a large hole in the bridge deck paving, images show. Now, that really doesn't sound like the type of thing that's going to be that hard to fix. All right. So, the attack damaged a rural school and ruptured a local gas pipeline, leaving the nearby town of Genichesk without supply, according to Saldo. Both bridges have hardly been used for military needs and are purely civilian infrastructure installations, he stressed. While Salvo did not elaborate on the damage sustained by the second bridge, unverified footage circulating online suggests that one of its sections has partially collapsed. Well, that's a bigger deal. The images show a gas pipeline running alongside the bridge ruptured and aflame. The bridges connecting the northern part of the Crimean Peninsula and Kherson region were targeted by Ukraine in another major attack back in June. At the time, the Chongar Bridge sustained considerable damage and ended up shut down for several weeks during repairs. All right, so what to make of this? Does this mean that Ukraine is now winning and winning big? No, I mean, these are pinpricks. Russia will just repair the bridge, and it wasn't, according to the article, wasn't really used for military purposes anyway. These are bridges I wasn't really even aware of. There's an isthmus connecting Kherson with Crimea, so they don't even need bridges. I'm not exactly sure. So these bridges wouldn't have been the main venues, the main arteries anyway. And furthermore, these are British supplied. At some point, I mean, the thing is, the Ukraine has lost something like 40,000 troops just in the past couple of months since this summer or spring counteroffensive started. It started in early to mid June, so it's been going on a couple of months, and they're just getting wiped out. All the reports are that the Ukrainian government is losing supporters in Western governments. So, you know, some of the Western governments are ready to just cut their losses. Ukraine really can't cut its losses. It's just lost too much. But the other thing that's significant, these are British-supplied missiles, and at some point, are British or American or other countries, are their military or other assets going to be attacked by Russia? I mean, Russia has shown restraint here because all these, British and American NATO-supplied weapons are being used to attack Russia, targets in Russia. Crimea, it's been Russia for the past 9 years, but also areas that have been, you know, part of the Russian Republic since the beginning. And also, you know, the British NATO, the American NATO have been supplying the intelligence in order to target these. At some point, the Russians might just take out some NATO, British, American assets in Ukraine or somewhere else. Who knows? I mean, this all could lead to some sort of escalation, but it's an escalation that they know Putin. Here's the whole thing. They know that Putin's not particularly aggressive. They know Putin isn't trying to start World War III. They know Putin shows restraints, and that's why they do these things. If Putin was anything like the aggressive madman that they portray him to be, they wouldn't be trying this stuff, because Putin would retaliate in kind. So far, he hasn't. Okay, now, I haven't done news roundups like this for a long time. I used to do some, and I'd use Tehran Times and, you know, other and RT, maybe the Sydney Morning Herald. I'd use sources that I was aware of that, if you know the source, you can maybe assess whether it's trustworthy or not. I'm going to read just briefly from a couple of articles from sources I don't know. So take these with a grain of salt. This is a source, and it's called Real Raw News. I have no idea. I've never heard of it before, and I have no idea who runs it. I'm going to read the headlines and say I don't know if it's true. But here's the headline. Putin bans 5G across Russia, destroys all towers. honestly, I kind of doubt this, but I'm reading it anyway. If you know this source, Real Raw News, let me know. The URL is dynibikyaloy.com. I have no idea what it is. But anyway, I think it's... I'm doing this partly just because, you know, what's a news roundup? And, you know, Mike used a lot of sources, and some of the sources I wasn't 100% on board with. I think Natural News. Who's the guy who does Natural News? What's that guy's name? I honestly think he's kind of flaky, but maybe I'm wrong. What's the guy's name? He was big. He was a big shot with the QAnon, I believe, and he's also tight with Andrew Kaufman, the viruses don't exist guy, and Thomas Cowan, the I'll sell you some structured water for your health. Structured water. Sounds delicious. Anyway, Russian President Vladimir Putin has banned 5G towers in the Russian Federation amid concerns the technology is medically unsafe and has caused the deaths of school children near St. Petersburg. All right. Did he? I have no idea. Is 5G unsafe? I'm not a proponent of 5G. I don't think 5G, like there's a lot of things that you heard about 5G, you know, with, it's the same wavelength as, you know, water or something else, and they can do all sorts of weird things with 5G, which I don't buy. But the fact of the matter is, in order to get more information into your get more information through the part of the spectrum, whatever part of the spectrum you're using, you want to use shorter wavelengths. The shorter the wavelength, the more information can be transmitted in a given period of time, because it's higher frequency. There are more ups and downs to be modulated in the same period of time. That means higher energy. These are also things that they don't necessarily penetrate as well, and so they're beamed at higher energy, like all sorts of things. I'm not an expert in this, but at any rate, did he really? Here's another article from the same source. Hands off our children, Putin bans gender reassignment surgery in Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin has banned Russian surgeons from performing sex change surgery on Russian children, declaring the transgender fad to be a Western-backed ideology designed to corrupt the young and destroy society. I mean, it sounds like something he'd do. But like I say, I don't know this site. Okay. Now, here's something. I'm getting this from the Hal Turner radio show, and again, unknown site. I think I've heard of Hal Turner before, but I don't remember whether... I don't have an assessment of him. I don't know him well enough, but I'm familiar with the name. Combined Russian-Chinese flotilla forms surface action group off Alaska coastline. And I think I have heard about... Well, I think the Russian and Chinese were doing some naval cooperation in the Sea of Japan recently. Off the coast of the Aleutian Islands isn't that far away from the Sea of Japan, actually. So, a combined Russian and Chinese naval force patrolled near the coast of Alaska earlier this week in what U.S. experts said appeared to be the largest such flotilla to approach American shores. 11 Russian and Chinese ships steamed close to the Aleutian Islands, according to U.S. officials. The ships, which never entered U.S. territorial waters and have since left, were shadowed by 4 U.S. destroyers and P-8 Poseidon aircraft. All right. Now, like I said, I think they were doing something in the Sea of Japan a month ago. Several months ago, I believe the Russia, China, and India navies, not India, Russia, China, and Iran navies were doing something in the Indian Ocean. So the thing is this, a Russian-Chinese military alliance, informal military alliance, is forming, and it's forming due to the American policy of hostility towards both countries. Makes perfect sense. Okay, let's turn to some domestic news. Here's something happened in the past few days. This is from ABC News. It was all over the news. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. But this article's written by Aaron Katursky and Emily Shapiro. Influencer charged after chaos erupts in New York's Union Square. Kai Sinat faces two counts of inciting a riot and unlawful assembly. Now, who's Kai Sinat? They call him an influencer and Twitch streamer. He's somebody who streams video games. He's a black guy. And I guess he's good at playing games. I ain't playing no game. Influencer and Twitch streamer Kai Sinat was charged with at least two counts of inciting a riot and unlawful assembly after thousands of people descended on Union Square in New York City Friday afternoon, police said. Sinat was issued a desk appearance ticket for the charges, which include a felony charge of riot in the first degree, causing public injury or damage. He was released from custody early Saturday morning. The crowd was apparently responding to Sinat's promise of free PlayStations, sparking a chaotic scene and a massive police response. The NYPD made 65 arrests, and 30 of these arrested were juveniles. The event was unpermitted and not sanctioned and grew rapidly to thousands of young people who Madre is chief of department, I guess he's the chief of police for New York, grew rapidly to thousands of young people. Madre said attacked officers instead of complying with orders. The young people attacked officers instead of complying with orders to leave. Okay, the chief implored parents to step in. Here's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of things here. One is, if you saw any of the video from this, this was a complete chimp out. And this wasn't because some good boy got hurt or killed or shot by police. This was because somebody said, hey, come down, you might get a free Game Boy, or what, a PlayStation. So these were people coming down for free Gibbs, and they wound up jumping on cars, just like stomping on the hoods of cars, or the roofs of cars. Hood is what Mark Hollett would say. But the roof of cars, and attacking police, and all sorts of stuff. It was just chaos. Blacks, mostly blacks, but there were white girls there videoing things. I guess there were some whites videoing. You look at this picture of the chimp out, and that's what you see. That's one of the things. Another thing is this Kai Sinat. He didn't lose his Twitter. I guess Twitch is a streaming service of Twitter. Is that what it is? And he didn't lose those twitching rights, whatever that is. Meanwhile, Nick Fuentes, he made a speech where he said, we're engaged in a holy war. And it didn't cause a riot. It didn't cause any violence. Just people listening to a speech. And people use terms like holy war all the time, but oh no, no. He's got to be deplatformed over saying.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
It didn't cause a riot. It didn't cause any violence. Just people listening to a speech. And people use terms like holy war all the time. But oh, no, no. He's got to be deplatformed over saying we're involved in a holy war. Whereas this guy, I mean, he was arraigned, right? He will face some consequences. But he didn't lose his platforms. And he actually did cause... He did incite a riot. Whatever. Okay. We're going to stay in the same topic of black urban violence. And this is from Zero Hedge. Shocking video. Gun strapping kids roam Grand Theft Auto style around St. Louis suburb. Okay. A disturbing pattern of out-of-control kids is being overserved in several U.S. cities. This might result from progressive leadership in city halls failing to enforce law and order while supporting disastrous defund the police efforts that have transformed city streets into war zones in a few short years. The latest example of this chaos comes from an inner ring suburb of the city of St. Louis in St. Louis County, Missouri. Local television station KMOV released a shocking video of kids pointing guns at a smart door camera of a home on the 700 block of Vernon Street. The five kids were strapped with pistols and semi-automatic rifles. They were seen knocking on the door while one said, "Open that door, man." And you can look at the video, and it is shocking. And if you live, and there's a dog inside, a small dog inside barking, you got to hand it to dogs. Police said they received the video from an anonymous source. There is an open investigation into who the kids are and why they were at the home with guns. Last month, a gun-wielding 16-year-old was responsible for a deadly downtown St. Louis mass shooting in June that left one person dead and a dozen injured. Meanwhile, St. Louis family courts report to the community for 2022. This is some official report that's released by a government body. And it was released in May. And it shows the number of felony referrals police sent to juvenile courts soared from 535 in 2021 to 878 in 2022. That's like 60 or 70% increase. And that number is likely moving higher this year. Democratic Mayor Tashiara Jones, I wonder what she looks like, her move to defund the city's police department by millions of dollars to put social justice and racial equity at the center of all public policy appears to have been overshadowed by the continuation of violent crime. Jones has supported strict gun control and called on Congress to ban weapons of war, claiming if these guns were banned, it would result in a drop in violence. But the mayor has been in damage control mode for about a month after open records request revealed private text messages showing a chat with her father in March in which she said, "Chicago has strict gun laws as well, but that doesn't deter gun violence." Okay, so, I mean, what's the issue here? The issue is, one could very well say it is making sure that black kids are armed, white homeowners are not armed, and black kids have a feeling of, what is the word? Privilege? License? And, you know, you couple this with recent court awards, and one was in St. Louis. I mean, people who had rioted in St. Louis and felt that they were not, they were arrested by police and felt that they weren't treated properly by police, they've gotten big time money. I just saw this, and they were awarded around $50 million. I don't have the source in front of me, but they were awarded $50 million. Let me see if I can get that source. Okay, sorry, I got that wrong by a factor of 10, but it's here's the thing. St. Louis, this is from Channel 5 on your side, from local St. Louis news. St. Louis agrees to pay protesters around $43,000 each after accusations of misconduct. The city agreed to pay the plaintiffs nearly $5 million. Okay, so this would be, there would be over 100 people who would be getting these checks, I guess. The protests followed the acquittal of the former police officer who fatally shot Anthony Lamar Smith.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it.
The city agreed to pay the plaintiffs nearly $5 million. Okay, so this would be, there would be over 100 people who would be getting these checks, I guess. The protests followed the acquittal of the former police officer who fatally shot Anthony Lamar Smith. Okay, so there was a chimp out after a court did not convict a police officer. All right. 7 dozen people. Well, 7 dozen would be 84 people, right? 7 dozen people who accused St. Louis police of violating their rights following downtown protests in 2017 are now picking up their settlement checks. The city has agreed to pay the plaintiffs nearly $5 million. The protest followed the acquittal of former police officer Jason Stockley. People who were around at that time won't soon forget the protests, chaos, and violence that occurred after the officer who fatally shot Anthony Lamar Smith was cleared of murder charges. When protests broke out, activists said police violated their civil rights. Okay, so, I just want to say, St. Louis, at around the turn of the 20th century, you know, 19th going into the 20th century, around 1900, it was the fourth largest city in America. And even in the 1960 census, as I recall, it was the 10th. Yeah, it was, I think it was the 10th largest. It was around like 700,000. It's below 300,000 now. And I just saw on a, I read an article. I don't have it for you, but it was about the cities in America with the biggest population declines. And the one last year that had the biggest decline was Jackson, Mississippi, which lost like over, I think, over 2.5% of its population. And St. Louis lost over 2% of its population just in 1 year. And so, you know, so if you're saying it's got a population of 300,000 and you lose over 2%, that's over 6,000 people. So it's going down and down and down. Why is it going down? Well, it's going down because of crime. This is why it's going down. And then you think about this. If you have a $5 million payout by the city, $5 million, and you've only got 300,000, you've got less than 300,000 residents. Okay, so that's $17 per resident. So let's just say, and I know these aren't huge numbers, but let's just say you've got, you know, you've got a family of four, right? And somebody comes to you, and like, there's so many things going on, and you've got all this crime going on. You get these riots, you know, and like Ferguson's just outside of St. Louis. And so I don't remember this Anthony Lamar guy. I'll look him up in a second. But the Ferguson riots, I mean, that, what was the guy's name? Brown, Michael Brown. I mean, there's video of him, security video from a convenience store, which is where all the problems started, of him shoving this like Pakistani shopkeeper to the ground as he walks out with his stolen cigars. And then that was on video. Now, he assaulted a police officer, and then supposedly he was like, hands up, don't shoot. But there were eyewitnesses, black eyewitnesses, who said he was charging back at the police car when he was shot. And then, you know, you get riots. So I'm going to check the Anthony Lamar Smith guy. Hold on 1 second. So I've got the Wikipedia page here. Anthony Lamar Smith was fatally shot following a car chase December 20th, 2011. Okay. The riots were almost 7 years later after, or almost 6 years later after, the police officer was found not guilty. So there was a car chase. Smith was previously convicted for drug distribution and unlawful possession of a firearm, and was out on probation for a theft charge at the time of the incident. Police officer Stockley and his partner have stated that they saw Smith engaged in a drug deal. Dash cam footage from their police cruiser recorded Smith reversing his car into the vehicle twice before driving off. Okay, so this was a violent criminal acting violently. A car chase lasting 3 minutes ensued, ending when Stockley's partner, on Stockley's recommendation, rammed Smith's car. Stockley was recorded during the chase as saying, "Going to kill this MF, don't you know it?" All right. Anyway, so what I'm getting at is, if you live in St. Louis and you're a law-abiding person and you pay taxes, and, you know, I don't know how this, if St. Louis gets its revenue from a local sales tax, from local income tax, or whatever. But if, you know, if you're working there and you're just completely average and you've got a family of four, so they just hit you up for $70 to pay rioters. So rioters are going to get $43,000 each, okay? And they're hitting you up. And if you're an average person, your share is $70. But, you know, if you're actually somebody who works and makes a decent income, you know, your share could be several times higher than that. So how would you feel? You know, you're working, you got a black crime all around you, and then if a black criminal winds up dying after a car chase where the police were justified in chasing him, I don't care what he's, I haven't gotten to the edge of this article, and I don't know. I mean, maybe they're saying, well, they didn't have to shoot him. And I don't know if they had to shoot him or not. But the court system, which isn't necessarily, the court system's not particularly pro-white or pro-cop, and the courts let him off. But then rioters can go out, and they can riot. And then the rioters say, well, yeah, you arrested us for rioting, but you weren't nice enough to us. You were mean to us, and so now give us, $43,000. So you got that. And then you got, in New York, I mean, the biggest outrage, what Mark Collett and I were talking about a week or two ago, is you get people who simply failed tests. They simply failed tests to become teachers, and then because blacks failed a written test more often than whites, the written test must be racist, and therefore the blacks must be treated as if they had passed the test and then gotten up early and gone to work every day for the last 20 years and then got to retire with retirement benefits. You have to treat them that way because the test was racist. The racist test, which they weren't smart enough to pass, prevented them from working for the next 20 years at a job which had a retirement. I mean, that's how far it's gone. And so, where were we even going with this? This is, so you've got the cities emptying out. You have what had been the fourth largest city in America at one point, and not too long ago, I mean, in my childhood, it was the 10th largest city. It's lost more than half of its population, and it's just a shell. So that's where we're going. All right, let's see what's next. Okay, here's an article, and this would come in the category that Mike Rivera would call "Gosh darn that man-made climate change" or "man-made global warming," and we differ on that, as we differ on the cicada issue, but the cicada question. But I'm going to read this anyway. Climate experts criticize alarmist rhetoric over summer temperature. Here is a quote, and this is from the Epoch Times, which is Falun Gong. I don't like the Epoch Times. It actually, for non-China news, isn't necessarily a bad source of news. It's run by the Falun Gong, which is a very strange Chinese cult, anti-government Chinese cult, and I totally disavow the Epoch Times, but I'm going to read this anyway. Here's the quote. "The hottest month just ended. We witnessed scorching heat, extreme weather events, wildfires, and severe health consequences," said Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, the director general of the WHO. And we know the WHO. The WHO, the Ethiopian guy who runs the WHO, who's, I'm not endorsing him. "It's a stark reminder of the urgent need for collective action to address climate change. Let's use this alarming milestone to fuel our determination for bold climate action," blah, blah, blah. Okay, next paragraph. Myron Ebel, director and senior fellow at the Center for Energy and Environment, and I don't know who he is or what that organization's like, but he said that while June and July were hot in many locations, other places experienced below average temperatures, Los Angeles being one of them. He says, yes, June was hot, July was hot globally, but not through the roof. Our planet is not boiling. Southern Europe has been very hot, but not everywhere is having record high temperatures. There's more here. I'm not quite sure what this guy's conclusion is. Mr. Ebel, okay, here we say, as we progress to higher populations stations, we find that urban heat island warming effect becomes larger. Okay. Mr. Ebel agrees, if you believe the consensus climate scientists, then urban heat island effect doesn't really amount to much, but in fact it does. Okay, so I'm just going to leave that as it is. Here's the thing. When I saw the headline, there is alarmist rhetoric, and the climate agenda has become so weaponized, and I think it's been hijacked by people with ulterior motives, that it's now completely unworkable. And I was talking to David Duke last night on shows that will be broadcast Monday and Tuesday, and I can't remember which show it was, but in one of the shows, I was commenting how if somebody who is arguing for my position makes bad arguments, that bothers me. I guess this was probably on the Monday show, and it was regarding David Brooks, who's a columnist. No, he's not a columnist. He's a columnist for the New York Times. He's a Zionist guy, but he wrote an article called What If We're the Bad Guys? Meaning, like, if the anti-Trump mainstream elites, what if we're the bad guys? And he looks at it from the other side. If you're a Trump voter, don't you have certain legitimate grievances? And it was, you know, it seemed kind of introspective, you know. And my reading of David Brooks is, well, I mean, David Brooks, he is a Zionist. He is, I think, pretty much a neocon. But I think he doesn't really like a lot of the arguments made by people on his side, that they make his side look bad. Now, if we weren't in the middle of wars and the struggle to preserve Western civilization, and you could say the Caucasian race even, from people who wish to dilute or destroy it, if we didn't have our hands full of all this stuff, I would be, you know, and we lived in a international society of trust, a high trust international society, I'd say, hey, let's see what we can do about carbon dioxide. I would be fine with that. But we don't live like that. We're not anywhere near that. The whole carbon dioxide issue, which I think is a real issue, it's been weaponized. There's no trust. It has been, all sorts of anti-white agendas have been piggybacked onto this, you know, global warming thing. And I think it's completely unworkable now. I think it's unworkable. It's unrealistic to expect that you're going to get any kind of consensus on it. And even though I think there's a real issue here, it is, you could say, the Al Gores. Certainly, it's a lot of other people. You know, the whoever you want to name, Al Gore's, Soros, or Bill Gates. But, you know, a lot of this really alarmist rhetoric. Those are the people who are at fault for an inability to reach any kind of consensus, because these people, Al Gore, he's just one person. I don't know whatever about Al Gore. But as a group, these people have weaponized this, and they're not honest, even though I honestly think there's a problem. But these people aren't honest. And, you know, to what extent is there a problem? That's something that's debatable. You do hear some rhetoric that is completely impossible to back up. Like, you're going to have, some sort of runaway positive, what do you call it? Like positive reinforcement cycle that's, going to cause life on Earth to disappear. I mean, you get this type of stuff, which the most extremist scenarios, which are so implausible, unlikely, all that. Are you really going to base all of civilization, all the policies of civilization, are you going to base them on the most extreme end?
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? What's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee that's come to carry the cotton away. Watch him shoving along.
See? Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC,
417-932-6419. Implausible, unlikely, all that. Are you really going to base all of civilization, all the policies of civilization, are you going to base them on the most extreme and, frankly, implausible short-term scenarios? Really? So anyway, that was something I read. Okay, we got a little bit of time. Let's see what else we can cram in here before signing off. Okay, this next article, is it interesting? Does it really fit in? I don't know, but we're going with it. These are the U.S. cities with the most vacant offices. This ranking uses data out of the FDI Intelligence to rank the top 10 cities that have seen the biggest increases in office vacancy rates from the end of 2019 to the beginning of 2023. So this would have to do with COVID. That's basically what they're looking at, COVID, and also, you know, black riots, the Summer of Love in 2020. So, according to Pew Research Center, around 35% of U.S. workers who can work from home in 2023 are already doing so all the time. In short, unless the trend begins to reverse, offices in many cities will stay empty or continue getting emptier. Here's a look at the cities with the fastest growing vacancy rates in percentage points terms since just before the COVID-19 pandemic. All right. Let's see if we can glean anything from this. Number one, in terms of change in vacancy rates over that 3 and a little bit year period, San Francisco, almost a 20% change in vacancy rates, 20% rise in vacancy rates. So San Francisco, COVID, yeah. Violence, yeah. People wanted to get the heck out because they don't like all the trannies and drugs and everything. All right. Next, New York City, which is divided. So this is Midtown South. And that's second place, tied for second with a 14.2% increase. Austin, Texas. Now, Austin, Texas is a fast growing city. So what does it mean that they've got a big increase in vacant office vacancies? I don't know. Say, Seattle. Seattle's in fourth place. What does that mean? Well, Seattle is very, very woke. So I'm throwing that in there. Salt Lake City. Why? I don't know. Downtown New York. Phoenix. What does that mean? I don't know. Columbus, Raleigh, Durham, New York City again. Did we learn anything from this? Honestly, probably not. That was probably a waste of time. But whatever. People are working at home, and so many of them are not going back. And in a way, is that a bad thing? There's going to be ups and downs to it. I do remember in 1980, like, I don't know, a college professor, a libertarian college professor, saying that's what's going to happen. He was basically predicting the internet and predicting working at home. And he was a libertarian. He was saying, why are we building these highways? Nobody needs to use highways because we're all going to be working at home via computers. That was what he was saying back in like 1980. And 40-something years later, well, he actually kind of got it right. So, all right, that is the end of this show. Now you know what really happened to the cicadas here. I think they got quiet. They were. I had my posse with me at the beginning of the show. But anyway, we will be back tomorrow with another exciting episode.
As you can plainly see, at night when he's asleep, into his tent he'll creep, and the stars that shine above will light their way to love. He rules this land.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.